A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kiwa.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best Thank Fuck For That moment so we can delight in how different their lives could have been. Hello!
Hello!
Oh, here we are. In our tranquil studio.
Oh my god, this studio. So much going on.
We are having the worst luck with our new studio. This place is, when we came to look at it, quiet as a church mouse.
Literally, like you could hear a pin drop.
And today we've got people who normally quietly do pottery next door, have a circular saw in the garden, and they are, I don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you guys will notice too much because I don't think it picks up that much. But like for us, you can hear it a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like there is an extreme amount of construction happening literally the other side of the wall.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully it's not too annoying for you guys because obviously we want the sound quality to be good.
Mm-hmm. And they have assured us that they do it once every few months, if that.
I mean, it's literally hilarious. Like, I feel like the boys that we share the studio with have not been having any issues.
No, we're just picking the worst days.
We're just, for some reason, get all the days where stuff is happening. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But how are you otherwise?
I'm good. What a week I've had.
Okay.
I went Thorpe Park.
You went to Thorpe Park?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I went to Thorpe Park on Monday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How is it on a Monday? Oh, I guess now it's
school
holidays.
Trips. Yeah, full of school trips. I went with the children I used to nanny.
Cute.
I got a text from their mum last week that was like, "Hello, do you have any free days next week? The children would like to take you to Thorpe Park."
They were like, taking you to Thorpe Park,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Lovely.
And I was like, if I don't do this, I'm not going to see them
for
months. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh my God, fine. It's not my vibe at all. It's not my vibe in any way.
Are you a coaster head?
No, I'm not. If you were at Thorpe Park on Monday, if anybody's listening and they were at Thorpe Park on Monday, you may have seen. Also, all the rides are like, you have to ride in twos. So most of the time I'm just on my own on a ride.
Yeah.
So you might have seen
solo. So these kids took you to Thorpe Park but did not want to sit next to you.
They didn't ride with me. Sometimes they did. Sometimes we swapped over. But the girl didn't want to ride any of them on her own. So
right.
It was... She was alternating between me and her brother.
Right.
But yeah, I was often to
neat
be,
trick.
Often to be seen solo.
Very neat
on a roller
trick.
Coaster, grumbling about how I got myself into this, why my life has come to this.
Yeah.
The amount of work I have to do.
Yeah.
Why am I here? Colossus right now?
Yeah. Sounds great, Colossus. Yeah. I'm a big coaster head.
Are you?
I love roller coasters so much, and
what?
I'd sort of forgotten about this. I don't know why, because I love them, but
really?
I'd sort of forgotten until like 2 years ago. I went to the Netherlands,
And my sister had decided we were all going to go to this theme park. And I was like, I'm here for 3 days. I don't want to go to the theme park.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We're an adult.
I was really grumpy and sulking. And also knowing
immediately. Did you not have a choice then?
Oh, no. Mm. You do not have a choice when this sister decides something is happening. It is happening.
Yeah.
Like no one else. Everyone else can be like, why is it happening? Mm. But we're saying that as we're going towards the thing that we're doing.
As you're being strapped into a roller coaster.
Yes. Yeah. So I, and it, you know, Patrick was there and he was just sort of like, he was also like not sure why I was so grumpy. But I, he was just like, it will be fine. Like we have to spend the day with them anyway. We might as well just go. And walk in this theme park, but it wasn't a particularly nice day. I was like, I don't understand. And so we get to the theme park, and I get on the first roller coaster, and I just have this like instant like mood change and revelation where I'm like, right, I love roller coasters. Like I love it, and I used to be so excited to go to theme parks. Like I love roller coasters so much.
We ended up back in after being on it, and you're like, this is the best.
It was, and like we ended up like it was like from the moment I was strapped in, I was like having that like you know it's like a smell memory or whatever you're having all the memories, and I'd never been on this particular roller coaster before, and. I was just like, this is the best day. I was like the most excited. And we ended up like, you know how you have the pictures? We ended up buying them. I've never bought a roller coaster picture in my life. But Patrick was like, we have to buy it because it's both him and me in absolute ecstasy having the time of our lives. After I'd been sulking, grumpy, just like having the worst time.
That's so funny.
Also, my sisters are people who are incredibly well prepared for everything. So they brought like snacks for the whole day. They had like teas, coffee. Like everything was in thermi.
So you just had like the dream day.
What a day.
Wow.
If I find the roller coaster picture, I'll put it on stories. But yeah.
They've fucked it now though, because you're going to want to go every time you go home.
Oh my God. Like when you just went Thorpe Park, I was like, well, weren't you just having the time of your life?
Dead easy to get to Thorpe Park from London.
Yeah, I've never even been. I've never been to Thorpe Park. I've never been to Alton Towers. And it's only since that roller coaster experience that I've been like, why haven't I gone to these places?
Well, next time I'm provoked into going by the children.
I'll happily keep this girl company.
Yeah.
So you can sit next to the boy for a
while. We went on the Walking Dead one. And I just...
There's a Walking Dead one?
Yeah, there's a Walking Dead one. Sick. And you have to run through the dark. And I was shouting the whole time, I can't believe I let you talk me into this. She's 12, he's 14, and I'm just screaming at them. If anybody jumps out at me, I will kill the both of you.
Oh my God. I mean, I think I would have the best time.
Oh God. It was okay. I'm not horrible with rides. I just think I know too much now. I know, you know when you're a kid, you're going to roller coaster, you don't think about like malfunctioning and...
You don't think about the time at Alton Towers that someone lost a leg.
Yeah. Whereas like, I was on a roller coaster, there was a guy behind me that I didn't know.
You kept looking down, you were like, I have two legs.
I was on my own, the guy behind me I didn't know, we're about to like set off. I think he thought I was a teenager. Because from behind, let's be honest. And he tapped me on the shoulder.
That's so creepy.
He tapped me on the shoulder and went, can I tell you something? Somebody died on this one last week. And I was like, you're not freaking me out right now, man. Because everything you're telling me, I'm already thinking.
Yeah.
I'm already there.
I'm there.
Yeah. This can't get any worse.
What the hell?
I know. Really bad etiquette. Bad roller coaster
that
etiquette.
That is just not what you do.
Yeah.
I don't like that. That's like the people who were like, do you remember this? Like when the sixth Harry Potter book came out. People were like going through the streets, like yelling spoilers.
I don't remember that, but that's horrible.
Yeah, people were like driving, like in a car, yelling, and this will be a spoiler, so avert your ears if you haven't read it.
I mean, if you don't know what happens in Harry Potter by now, then
it's... Yeah, but it could be that we have some teenagers listening who have yet to, brave it.
Well, pick a better book.
Pick a better author.
Yeah, pick a better author.
But at the time they were like driving through the streets yelling Dumbledore's dead.
Horrible.
And it's just, and I'm horrible. So confused by it because I'm just like, What's the aim?
What pleasure do you actually get out of that?
What pleasure?
My mum would only buy one book, and then my brother would be allowed to read it before me, so I'd have to wait for him to finish it.
What, this was going by the like order of...
Yeah, so she'd buy it when it would come out. So we'd have all the hype and excitement, but she'd only buy one book, and then she'd go, he's going to read it first because he reads faster, and then you can read it. So I would have to wait.
So you're being... how do you say...
Punished for being a dumb dumb. Yeah, for being a dumb... for being 3 years younger. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And we went on holiday with some other kids, like my mum's best friend's nephew, I think, and some other friends were there with their, like, grandchildren, like, younger than us. And they'd all read it. So I was the only one who hadn't
this
read it.
This is the worst.
And they kept going... They kept, like, teasing me with, like, spoilers and stuff. Like,
this is the worst. This is, like... this is the kind of, like... Like millennial trauma. That like I remember really well, mm-hmm. because like especially before the like before the fifth book, which I read in English, I had to wait for the Dutch translations to come out, which usually took like another 6 months.
Cruel.
Yeah. So like I would, and it wasn't until the fifth book, which my dad had gotten because he was reading them as well. Which I love. It was thing that we shared, and my dad would get the books in English, so he would know what happened before, and I just could not wait. Mm. I was just like, I'm sick of waiting, and this was my first experience reading an English book.
Oh wow!
And understanding it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was when I read an English book for the first time, and that like made like the language click.
Oh, that's so good.
It was like amazing because like I started reading it and I couldn't quite follow it.
Yeah.
But it was like because I was so determined, like three chapters in, it was like my brain just went fine.
You can have fine. English.
And then I had no trouble and I read it in like a day and a half.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Are the characters called different names in Dutch? What's Dumbledore called?
Perkamentus.
Oh, I think we've done this before, haven't we? Yeah. What's Hermione called?
Hermeline.
What's Harry mm-hmm. called?
Harry. Harry Potter.
That's the same name, just said in a silly way.
Harry Potter.
What's Uncle Vernon called?
Ooh, that's definitely a different name.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be able to, I don't remember.
Okay, if you know, write in with your suggestions. Uncle Vernon. Who's the Dutch Uncle Vernon?
Uncle Vernon.
Is it that?
Om, it would be. Om. That's Uncle.
Om.
Om.
Vernon.
Vernon. Yeah.
Great. How's your week been?
Good. It's been really busy, but I'm in that like last stretch before Edinburgh where you're just kind of like going.
Having a mental breakdown.
Basically having a mental breakdown.
I was
doing a preview. So the show, I sent the show like a recording of it to my agent. And he was so nice about it.
Oh, that's great.
And he's never nice.
What's going on?
Well, he's like nice, but this, but he's not this nice.
Yeah.
He was very nice.
He's a nice person, but he's quite critical about work, isn't
yeah,
he?
Because he wants you to be really good.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's always like, he doesn't want you to get comfortable and then stop working.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always usually really like, okay, well, I think this, and this. But this, he was so nice.
He's like the agent version of those angled toilet seats that are meant to be uncomfortable so people don't stay on their phone too long on them.
He also looks like
that. He does.
He also looks like those toilet seats.
He looks like a toilet seat.
Yeah. So we had this call. So I was like, wow, I felt really good.
Yeah.
This is unusual. And so I was feeling really good. And I was like, okay, great. I feel optimistic. And I went to my preview with this like optimistic view. Good God, it could not have gone worse.
Oh, no.
I was like, this is why he's normally critical.
Because when I start to feel good about myself, that's when everything goes
as
wrong.
As soon as I have like a little bit of like positive, you know, affirmation, it's like the universe is like, how dare you?
You don't get to be cocky Mickey over this.
I think there were some things that were probably working against me. Like, for example, I was taken over from a person. It was an Irish comedy night. And
why do you think it went wrong?
I was replacing an Irish person.
Did you do an accent?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
No, I was raising an Irish person. They had obviously like scrambled and were just like trying to get anybody and had tried to get Patrick, who I guess is half Irish, so maybe he could have like claimed it.
Yeah, and his name's Patrick.
Yeah, so. And then Patrick was like, but Mickey's available. And then, but I didn't know it was an Irish, so I was like, oh, great, a preview. And then I went, and then it was like, Irish comedy tonight. And I was like, okay.
Fuck.
And then
do you think they thought that there was a little apostrophe between the O?
That's what Patrick said. And he's like, your name is Mickey O'Verman. And then I was like there and I was like, oh God. And then I said to the guy before me, the Irish guy, I was like, oh, are they going to be okay with me not being Irish? He's like, it'll be fine. They're always lovely. And I'm like,
oh God.
And then he went on to introduce me and he went, she's not Irish. And they all went, ah.
Oh no. Oh no. But at least you're not English.
That's
right?
What he said. He was like, but she's not English. And they went, yeah.
Oh God. Oh God.
So yeah. I will give myself that. You know, that was working against me. That
it was
I wasn't
never going to be
Irish.
The best work in progress ever.
No, I think the whole time there were two very Irish looking boys in the front row who were just looking at me like, you are not as promised.
Not one of us.
You are not one of us. Yes,
you're too tall.
Yeah. So we'll get ready for the next one.
Well, I wish I'd been at that one.
Oh my God. Anyway, that was my week besides that.
Excellent.
I'm excited about our guest.
Our guest is amazing.
Amazing.
So good. Her name is Sindhu V.
Sindhu V.
Do I even need to tell you who Sindhu V is?
What a get.
Actor, comedian, writer, star, movie star. Matilda the musical.
Movie star.
The movie musical.
Star.
Star.
Matilda. Star.
I think we nailed that.
We'll edit that together.
Yeah. No.
No.
Leave it as it was.
Leave it as it was.
I nailed it.
You nailed it. Yeah. Let's just get her in.
Let's get her in. Hi, it's me, Sarah. Thank you so much for listening to Thank Fuck for that. If you're enjoying the podcast, please sign up to our Patreon to support us. We need some help making it. We're doing it all by ourselves. So please sign up. Even if it's just £3 a month, that would make the world of difference. Thanks so much. Here's the episode. Sindhu V is here. Welcome, Sindhu.
I'm here.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Yes.
This is very cozy.
It is cozy. And so thank you so much for using the word cozy as opposed to
crap.
Cramped and sweaty.
Well, you know what? It's not cramped or sweaty. It's cozy.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not sweating, so I can't tell you it's sweaty. I don't know what you
Yeah, we talked about this before.
Yeah. I'm definitely sweating.
You're glistening. Yeah.
And you've got your lemonade. You had an exciting experience with the Vietnamese place across the road.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, shout out to them. Come and get your Vietnamese baguettes there. But if you want a beverage, be ready to have a very long discussion about various things in your life, what you've eaten that day, potentially how you're feeling, whether your marriage is going well, you know, just things like that. And then they will decide what on the menu they are willing to sell to you.
I can't believe they do this, because Ed Knight, who does the other podcast in this studio, said that he went over there and they literally just, they give you, you get what you're given over there. You can order something, they'll go, no, you're not having
it. Oh, this is that place.
Yeah.
And so I said this to Sindhu, but I was like, I feel like they're just going to treat you with more respect than Ed. I feel like Ed is easy to disrespect.
Whereas which I agreed with.
Yeah. You can command the respect, but it sounds like...
I mean, she was respectful. She was sort of probing. She was probing about... You know when you know someone's about to make a poor decision and you want to save them by making them make the correct decision?
Yeah.
That way. She was like that.
It's amazing. She asked you what you had for breakfast?
Yes, and when I told her, she said, that's not a very good breakfast. She asked me, have you had a good breakfast? And I told her, and she was like, that's not really a very good breakfast, is it? And I was like, oh. And she said, it's not going to work with this coffee. And I said, okay. And then I asked her for something else, which was on the sign. It said iced jasmine tea. And she looked at me. Didn't turn around to look at the sign and said, what? And I said, like she'd never heard of this thing. And I said, iced jasmine tea. And I pointed it out. And she turned then to look at it and said, oh, we don't have that. So I was like,
that's amazing.
So I was like, well, can I, what? And she said, we have iced lemonade. And I was like, okay, I'll have that. I don't like lemonade. I don't like sugar. And I don't like ice. But I was like, I'll take that. Because I was like, I'm not leaving without a beverage. And then she said, do you want ice with it? And I thought, I'm going to throw myself in the coffee. But here I am with iced lemonade. It's not bad. It's got a lot of leaves in it.
It does have mint leaves, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, but I was happy, and then she was very nice. She said, "Are you going to have it here?" And I sort of pointed out the window and said, "I'm going to have it here." And I was pointing at the police station. And she was like, I said, "No, I'm going somewhere there." And so she was very nice. Yes.
Yeah. She thinks you're a hardened criminal now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting a
who doesn't have a good enough breakfast to drink her special coffee?
Absolutely not. That's a crime in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. This is a podcast about life-changing moments. Would you say that you dwell on the moments that could have changed your life?
Do I dwell on them? No, but when I remember them, I always have to sit down like, holy shit, imagine.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't remember them otherwise. Like if I said, I don't walk around thinking about them because that would be just weird.
Yeah.
And I always think, what if? And then I get kind of discombobulated, so I stop thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, discombobulated. Great word.
Good word.
Great word.
Good
word. I've heard it.
Well, I've heard it now. It's a very good word. So when you have to sit down, you've remembered a big moment. You sit down and you think, whoa, is that because it's just the difference in your life is blowing your mind?
I think it's because each of those times, and there's like a couple of them, I was so clueless. Like it wasn't like I really didn't want to do this and it was happening. No, I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then usually some other person... Usually an adult, even though I was technically an adult, I was very not really in charge of my life for a very long time. I was just did what my mom said. And then you'd be like, oh, they changed their mind and my whole life changed.
Mm,
right.
And it's like, but then because I have a lot of faith, I'm a person of faith, as they say, which used to be you'd be like, yeah, I'm a Hindu and I'm religious. And people now are like, oh, are you a fascist? And it's like, no, but I have a lot and my belief system very much centers around karma and, you know, all those things. So it's kind of easy for me to fold into my thinking. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Otherwise, I think you'd just be like, is life just full of these moments where anything could happen and by the great, you know, by some just complete random event, I didn't go down that road. Life is never random like that.
So you believe like, oh, it was meant to be and stuff like that?
I believe that what has to happen will happen. You just, all you have is the time between now and that thing happening to control various behaviors, your thoughts, but that thing is going to happen. But it doesn't have to be, but that thing is going to happen as in your life is going to broadly go in one direction.
Right.
And, you know, but it's not something that you think, well, the problem I have with some of the thinking around what's going to happen will happen is it tends to then sometimes indicate that there's no agency.
Mm.
You always have agency.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, yeah.
No, I like this. I like this idea of like broadly it's going to go in the same direction.
It is.
Yeah.
Because also remember the way that karma works is every action you're doing, you don't have to use the word karma. You can use any other. Everything I do today creates my tomorrow.
Right, yeah.
Right, so then people say, oh, but then how can everything be decided? That is a complicated thing to explain on a podcast, and I am willing to point you the direction of various books written about 5,000 years ago, including the Bhagavad Gita, which would explain that. But I think that I do believe that things happen how they're supposed to happen. I think your attitude to them is what you can control.
That's nice.
Do you know what I mean? Because the only thing you can control in life is your perspective.
Yeah.
I like the idea, everything I do today makes my tomorrow. 100%. That's great.
100%.
I just had a flashback to my mom at school because I, useless child, forgot everything all the time, daydreamed all the time, and would have cooking class on a Wednesday, and then they'd give you a list of ingredients to get, and it would be like Wednesday morning, and I'd be like, oh, by the way, I need 6 eggs and some flour, and I need it to be weighed out specifically.
Oh, your poor mom.
And my mom's about to go to work, and I really distinctly remember her just completely at the end of her tether. Like, I think my brother and I sang this for years afterwards because she just like completely lost her mind, and she was chanting, "Get your things ready the night before," over and over again.
Of course.
Just trying to drill it into my head. Just never did.
Yeah.
Learned the song though.
Good.
Good tune.
And do you think that helped your tomorrow?
I think it did something to my tomorrow. I don't know if it helped or if it made everybody's tomorrow very stressful and probably reduced the amount of tomorrows we're all going to have.
Do you?
Yeah. Are you more prepared now?
No. No. Absolutely not. No.
I know, because now you have your ADHD diagnosis.
Yeah, so I have an excuse.
But are you prepared for the unpreparedness? That's the other thing.
Absolutely.
There you go.
I can scramble in a crisis.
There you go. But you know, right? And that's the thing. It's like my middle kid said to me she has to take a flight. And I was like, what about your packing? And she's like, I only do it at the last minute. And I always make my flight. And I said, you know, the day you don't make your flight, that's going to have to be overturned. But if that's the thought process you're going with, you knock yourself out. Mm-hmm. And she does everything, but she's ready for that incredible trauma in the last half an hour.
Yes.
She's ready for it. And it's like, well, good then.
Yeah, that's me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Mickey? Do you prepare?
I'm better prepared than that. Yeah.
You have a real organized vibe.
Yeah, she does.
Which is like, but that is because I was so unorganized as a kid and as a teenager. It was ridiculous. So like I just never wanted to be like that again. I think like my control issues got worse, and then I was like, well, I can't have both. I can't want to be in control and then not do anything.
Not do anything to change it.
Yeah.
And that's you making your tomorrows easier.
And that's me clearly not having ADHD.
Yes, that's the one difference. Oh, but that's...
I love that.
Yeah.
It's... Yes, thank you. It's facts.
Yes, thank you.
It's fact, though.
Did having children change your attitude towards that sort of thing? Do you kind of have to be more relaxed about what is going to happen tomorrow and the next day?
No. My God, having kids made me the kind of person that, like, for so many years, now that the kids are older, I look back, like, I was like a person who did all kinds of things, went on roller coasters, was happy to just suddenly go on a trip. Then I had kids. Every single known anxiety came and started living. I became anxiety because my whole life was, if something happens to me, what's going to happen to these kids?
Oh, yeah.
But then something happens to me could be like, oh, this lamp is going to fall, I'll die. Mm. I'll slip on the floor, I'll die. If I get on the flight, I'll die. And then I just became one of those people that has like, what's the word I think? Lunatic. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go anywhere. Yeah. I was on antidepressants for anxiety. And I thought, who am I? And then I had low self-confidence while they were little, but I never showed them my fear.
Oh, that's good.
I never, because that was the one saving thing.
And they can smell it, like dogs.
Yeah, and I was like, no. Oh, yeah, let's go. But, you know.
Right, yeah, so. I mean, I remember hearing stories about my mum. Like, I literally just went to France with my family and we were staying with my parents' best friends from years and years ago. And they're telling these wild stories about my parents from before we were born. And I'm like looking at my mum like, who is this woman that I have never met in my life? She told this story about how she and her friend went to the opera in France and they only had one set of underwear. So my mum wore the pants and Lynn wore the bra.
That's amazing. It's
like, that's friendship.
You always have underwear.
I know.
That doesn't sound like any story you've ever told about your mom.
I know.
It's
that's
wild. Amazing.
Yeah.
That's very good, though. That's true friendship.
But that I think she's more like that than she was when we were growing up. She was a very anxious mother as well. But yeah, I think, that's just the case.
Would you rather wear the pants or the bra?
If I was in my 20s, probably neither. I wouldn't have given a shit.
Really?
Yeah. But then I had kids.
No, thank you. You get the option. You're like, I'll take
one time when we were in university.
You take the set.
One time when we were in university and it was first year, my best friend, shout out to Ambika. I know you don't listen to podcasts, but one day maybe you will. And and she lived with us because her parents had gone abroad and she had to finish university. So we were actually in third year of university. We decided to go to uni every day with no underpants.
Really?
Just for fun. And it was very warm. So we always wore like dresses or skirts or even salwar kameez. So there's nothing going in your crotch.
This is old school.
This is a risk.
And we just did that and it was like, okay.
Yeah.
But it was our little secret. Ha ha ha. And she was at a different college. So we weren't even like in the same college.
It wasn't like you could text each other.
No, there was, I mean, no. But it was just so fun. So no, I would have probably at that age worn neither.
Wow.
Then if I'd had kids, I'd have had to wear a bra because it would have been injurious to someone's health. Right. And now if I had to, I would just wear the pants.
I would wear the pants, 100%.
Yeah, I think I'd wear the pants.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, because bras, I don't have a lot of, like, boobs, so it's not like
I do, but also I think, you know, whatever, Like, I think if you're in that position where you're sharing bra and underwear, it's already you're desperate. So yeah. Just wear yeah. the pants. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, I got to have pants on during the day.
Yeah.
I'm a leaky lad.
Leaky lad.
Leaky lad.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had three kids. You want to talk about leaky lad? But yeah.
There's a tube ad at the moment where they say, where they encourage you to do your pelvic exercises.
I'm doing them right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. As we speak.
Yeah.
Are you actually?
Cindy's no. thrusting at the ceiling.
That would be amazing.
No, but you can.
In yeah, fact, but they're like encouraging clench. You because they say yeah. like it prevents like leakage when you get older.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah,
ship
yeah.
has sailed, mate. Because yeah, you're already a leaky lad.
No, but you can start anytime.
Okay.
Yeah, right. We can actually
start. We can be doing them right now, you guys.
Okay.
Just
I'll start
just,
doing it now.
Just like you stop peeing, just do that. Let's do that throughout the rest of this podcast.
Okay. Okay. From now on, we're doing pelvic floor.
So just so you all know, we'll be doing pelvic exercises.
Why not?
Kegels. The whole time.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Kegels. Have you ever had a big near miss moment in your life?
I don't look at them and think, oh, I'm so glad that didn't happen. But everyone else around me is like, oh, we're so glad that didn't happen. I just think if it would have happened, then that would have been my life.
Okay.
You know? I mean, of course, it wasn't like, there was one, which I don't want to talk about because it's so long, where I think I was being kidnapped. But
you have to talk about that now.
I didn't really understand it until I did. And I was like, oh, they're going to traffic me. I got to do something.
Oh, my God.
So then, that was scary. That was actually scary. That was scary. But it was not for the longest time. It's like, why? And I was 20 years old. So it's not like I was 5.
Wait, are you not going to tell this story? Because that's so interesting.
Do you have an abridged version of this story?
I'm going to have to abridge it big time because there's so many moving parts. Okay, so I was 20 years old and I decided that I was going to... And there were a lot of... My family was going through a time, okay? And my elder sister was back in... And I want to say this with a great deal of respect that the people I'm going to talk about now are no longer alive. And so it's very important to me to tell the story sensitively because they can't, especially my sister, can't really be like, oh, that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas in the past I would have embellished it to make myself look better, I won't now.
But also with a caveat that this is your version of events, not theirs.
They're the right version. No, but I'm just not, you know, yeah. So, and it's more just to honor that fact because... Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So really want to say that out loud. Okay. So there's a lot going on in my family. My sister had come back from the United States. Her and my parents were having a real moment, which I understand. I was 20 years old and I'd kind of had enough of the three of them and their bloody drama with each other. And also I was 20 years old. I wanted to do my own things. And my mom had sort of, by that time, it had become very clear that I was going to be the daughter that was going to do everything right.
Oh, yeah. Got
and it. So have an arranged marriage and blah, blah, blah. But I was very I was not visible in all this. It was like, who cares what you think? You're going to do this stuff. And I was like, okay. Then a number of things transpired because of which I decided, well, first of all, I, not physically, but through a photograph, I met my guru. Mm-hmm. And I saw a photograph of her and I was like, I know that lady. I have to, and she was a guru, like an orange and everything. And I told my dad, who I was talking to, because I wasn't talking to my mom or sister, that I want to go and meet that lady. And because in Hinduism, and not all Hindus, but certainly in my family, my parents were always very respectful of the inner call that someone has, either, you know, towards God or in my mother's case, sexuality, you know, she was like, oh, that's an inner thing. I can't get in the middle of that. So they got in the middle of everything I did, what I wore, who I talked to. But if it was the call of God, or if I decided to be, or if I decided to say or figure out that I was lesbian, my mother would have been like, okay, well, that I can't get into because that's an inner call.
Right.
That's
right,
great.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was like, these are my lines.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I said, I want to meet her, blah, blah, blah. And she had moved, at the time she was not in India, she was in the United States, but her ashram was near Bombay. Mm-hmm. And I decided I was going to go there. I was going to do my exams, sit for an interview for university abroad, and then leave, pack my stuff, and go to this place.
Wow.
And my parents were like, okay. They had been, and they were like, sure, well, we can't get in the middle of that. So it was a train ride, and it was monsoon season, as it is currently in India, so a lot of rain. And my parents never really let me travel alone, but they were busy at home. And so it was a train from Delhi to Bombay, and my father had given me the phone number of his PA and said, if anything comes up, call him because I'll be busy or whatever if you need anything. But so it was going to be fine. I sat in the ladies' compartment in the train. God. It was a ladies' compartment, which is only women.
Still?
Yeah, which is much safer. Let's be honest. You take men out of the equation train, women feel safer.
Yeah, they should have an option for that on the train too.
Yeah, even my university bus was called Ladies Special. It was only women on the bus to university.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Sorry. Karen would be the only creep in the ladies' carriage. Hello.
God, keep me out.
Anyway, so I... you two are so funny. So I got on this train, and just outside Bombay, the train stopped because of the floods. And there was literally water up to waist water, and it was like, oh... In my compartment was an older lady, and she'd been there, like, we'd been on this train for hours, and she'd been there, and often in India, you take your own food, and you share food and stuff, and she'd ask me, and I'd said no. I was in a very, I think I was running away from home, kind of,
but
with this beautiful
like.
Excuse, which was not an excuse, because my guru is still my guru, and that was the start of my spiritual practice, but I was very inward, and I didn't know I was sort of running away. I thought, I have to go. I just didn't care. I had to go to this ashram. I had to go. Anyway, the train stopped. People started jumping off the train and wading through the water to the station that we were at. And oh, I was like, oh, what am I going to do? Like, I don't even, this is Maharashtra. I'm from Delhi. It's a completely different for me. I've never been. So this lady says to me, she starts getting her stuff. She gets ready to leave. And then she stops and she turns to me and she says, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know yet. I'm going to have to call my parents. And she said, oh, from where? Because there was not, I mean, there's payphones, but at that time India was still not an open economy. So it was, so she said, well, where are you going to call from? And I said, I literally was like, I didn't know anything. So she said, well, my son's coming to pick me up. I live in Bombay, in the city. You can come and use our phone. And I'd been sitting in this train with her for hours.
Yeah.
And she was older, like older.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And she said, yeah, that's fine. My name is Mrs. So-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And it's no problem at all. I didn't tell her where I was going. We hadn't really talked that much.
Mm.
But I was like, okay. So I got out of the thing with her. We waited. I put my suitcase on my head and we waited through the water. Her son was there, really nice. We got into our car. It wasn't too far, I guess, because they lived in the suburbs and this train had stopped somewhere outside the main station. Honestly, and just for the record, I did not remember this until after I had my second kid. And I was sitting there, I told my mom, oh, you know, one time. And then as I was telling my mom, I was like, oh, my God. And while I was in the middle of the story, my mother said, oh, I'm becoming very emotional. Get me one wine. Because I think my mother was like,
one wine.
Get me one wine. Anyway, because I think, and then she cried after, because she said, beta, tumhe kuch ho jata. What if something had happened? You never told us. I'm like, I guess I just, but also at the end of the story, I got to, so what happened is I showed up. I'm sitting in their house. They have an apartment and there's lots of apartments. It's like an apartment building. Literally, it's packed. Like, you can hear the people in the next apartment.
Yeah.
But it's very India. Dogs are barking and the windows are open and there's like curtains. And she put me in a room and she said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, you can have a cup of tea. Then you can use the phone. And then there was a curtain. So I was sitting there and I was like, okay, so I'm going to have to call. So I had the number with me. And then I looked out of the curtain and her son were like heads down whispering to each other, which wasn't weird, but something about it, I remember, just stuck with me.
Yeah.
And then she came in and she opened her palm and there was a pill in it. And she said, why don't you take this? Because, you know, it's been a long journey and it will help. And I immediately in that moment thought, that's very strange.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Strange.
So I said,
don't take the pill from the old lady.
So I said, oh, no, I'm feeling fine. And she just stood in front of me and said, oh, I think you should take the medicine. And she said, it'll just make you feel better. So I said, okay. Because I really didn't know, well, what was I going to do? What was I going to do? Like scream?
Tackle her.
No, but her son was a big old guy.
Yeah.
And also I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And so I took the medicine and I put it in my mouth. And I remember I stuck it right in the back here.
Yeah,
and I drank the water and I gave it to her. And I said, thanks, I think that will. And she said, okay, great. Because also you have to remember, I was not, I mean, my hair was in a braid. I had a bindi because I was going to the ashram. So, you know, I was like dressed more conservative Indian. And the moment she left, I was like, I need to call somebody.
Yeah.
I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
And then like 10 minutes later, her son came in and said, oh, how are you feeling? And I was like, yeah, can I use the phone? And he's like, well, why don't you have a rest first? And I remember saying to him, no, no, I'd like to use the phone. And then I remember thinking, I don't know the address of this place. I didn't know a single thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I said, I don't know the address. I didn't say anything with the address to him. And he said, why don't you have a rest? And I said, no, I'd like to, because my parents will have heard about the train stopping. And he said, no, 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 no one will have heard about it. And I remember thinking, correct, correct, correct. They won't hear anything about this until tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I said, no, I'd like to make a phone call. And then I was very smart. I said, and, you know, because you could hear the neighbors.
Yeah.
I said, oh, if your phone is, I said, is it the lights? Is it the phone? Because I can always go to the neighbors.
Mm.
And I think he understood that I think, and this is just hypothetical, that people could hear.
Right.
So he said, sure. But he didn't turn his back. He reversed. So he was standing right near me with the phone. And I called my father's PA. And he picked up the phone. And I said, Mr. Katyal, I'm in Bombay, the train. And he said, oh, really? I said, yeah. I said, and I didn't know if these people spoke Hindi, but everyone in India really speaks Hindi. So I said, I'm here with a wonderful couple. Then I started describing her. I said, she was in the compartment with me. She's kind of older, such a nice lady. Her son is here. They gave me a great ride in their blue car. I just started giving him as many details as I possibly could.
Oh, my God.
And he understood something was up. He knew me. And he said, I need an address. And so I held the phone up like this, and I said to this gentleman, sorry, what's your address? What's your address? And you could, I could see that the old lady was looking from the corner like this. And he turned to look at her, and then he looked back at me, and he said the address. He didn't take the phone. He said the address. Mr. Katyal said, fine. And then he kept me on the phone. He just kept talking to me. And that's when I learned that it's good to keep someone on the phone.
Mm.
It's because I think he thought if I put the phone down,
who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, so he kept talking to me. But because, and this is where I'm very lucky, and I think privileged is the right word. My father worked in the literally within 5 minutes. They were like, woo, 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 woo. They came, and they just came to pick me up. And I think when these guys heard that, they were like, oh, who's this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but can I just say one thing? I was so scared because of the curtain to spit out the medicine. But I had spat it out because this time it would have dissolved. Who knows what the fuck was in that medicine?
Yeah.
And so then they came to get me and I was like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I left. Now, that's the story. It could be that they were fine. But I have to tell you, when she stood there with that medicine, I was like, this is not going
to
go well.
I don't think random Good Samaritans force you to take pills.
Well, she didn't force, but she was... But they also don't show up with a pill.
Yeah.
When you haven't said you have a headache or anything.
And like willfully being, no, you take this.
And there's a big thing of like instinctually
knowing
when something's up.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And you know what's impressive is for a dodo like me, I started saying, oh, the neighbors, oh, the blue car. It's amazing how much your system will try and protect you mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I get, like, you calling yourself a dodo. I think even now at this age, there's a big part of me that would be very trusting of an older woman on a train.
Yes.
if she just said, oh, can you come and help me with this, or can you come and walk me to my car, or anything like that.
We
like,
just said the female compartment of the train is much safer.
Yeah. But also, to be honest, my mother has never raised me to be particularly trusting, but the fact that she was an older lady.
Yeah.
And also, my options were very limited. We were in the middle of a place I'd never been. The train had stopped. It was late afternoon. So I was like, and I knew if I'd stayed at the station, I was like, I'm going to get raped.
Yeah.
But it's like, not even like she sidled up to you and said, hey, like.
No, she was starting to leave. Yeah. And then she turned around and said, oh, what are you going to do?
Just like she played it well. If she was a kidnapper, she was a smooth kidnapper.
She was smooth, but maybe the son, when he saw me, had an idea, bad idea, you know. I don't know. But the whole thing was so. I can see the apartment when I'm telling the story. I've only told it. I think this is the third time I'm telling it ever. And that's, I guess, a near miss.
Yes.
Of something
I think that is a huge near miss.
Yeah.
That was
weird. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but then at the end of that, I went straight to the ashram. And,
Well, you kept going.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to the ashram.
Right.
And interestingly, I don't think Mr. Katyal told my parents. Because my mother hadn't heard about it. Although my mother forgot shit, so maybe she'd forgotten about it. But my father would have definitely called or spoken to me, but I don't think he did. I think they, again, and this often happens, there's a tendency to avert your eyes from something terrible.
Mm.
And I think he thought, whatever that was, it's done now. She's on her way to the ashram.
Yeah.
And the person who came to get me was from the same department my father works in, but in Maharashtra. And he was like, you're going to Ganeshpuri? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay. And they just drove me there. It was like, it's like maybe an hour, 2 hours. And when I got there, I mean, my whole life changed. So I think I just didn't think about it again.
Right. Because something else huge was happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any sliding doors moments?
I think for me, a sliding door moment would have been, so when I was at university, I knew I had to have an arranged marriage because it would make my mom happy, and also all my cousins had, and it was fine. And you had to get married. I mean, that was fine. I always wanted to have kids, and I was still very much at the time of the view that you got married and had kids.
Mm.
I don't know. Your uterus is activated by matrimony. I don't know what I was thinking. I was young, okay? Anyway, and I was very much I was doing the things I was supposed to, and I was happy because I kind of had a side life, you know, where I would smoke in secret and I had really good friends. But I knew that I would have these things I'd have to do. And given what I was like, it was weird, and everyone talked about it, how I was the way I was, but I was making all these I was on this conservative path because my mom wanted it. And I think at the time I didn't realize how much being the kid my parents wanted was important to me for them. I didn't make that connection yet. I was like, I loved being a good girl to them because it was huge kudos and all that. Yeah. And I was kind of not that good because behind the scenes I was smoking, but okay.
You got to do both.
I got to do both. Ooh. So what happened is in India at the time, most people who were like me, who were going to university and who had fairly liberal parents, because my parents were liberal, even though they, being in India, arranging a marriage and being liberal can be very coterminous.
Yeah.
They were all studying to get a scholarship to go abroad. And a lot of them were going to America, and you had to write this exam called the GRE and blah, 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 and you got money from the universities and stuff. I had very good grades, but I knew I would have to get married, and also I didn't want to write an exam. Ugh, so lazy. And so they were all on the path to freedom and this and that, and I was like, oh, freedom, shmeedom, I got to write an exam. Like, I was so lazy. And everyone did it in the second year, so that by the end of university in the third year, you had your application ready, and you got your money, and you could leave in September. I, of course, didn't do any of that. I was like, nah, I'm going to have to get married anyway, so why bother? And so I finished my BA, and I started my master's degree at the Delhi School of Economics, just because you got to do something. And my friends who had gone abroad were living in America, and they were living in flats. But I had a set of friends who'd come to the UK, and they had had some different process. I knew it wasn't, I didn't really know, but they'd all left. And they'd gone to these kind of very big deal universities. I'd been hearing about it, but I didn't really know much about it. One of them, who I didn't know very well, but our parents were friends, and she'd always been a bit snobby in general, and kind of like, I'm an intellectual. And I had extremely good grades, so you would think I would have that attitude, but I was like, I'm going to have a cigarette. Like, I was not the person who was being very intellectual. She had come back for the summer, and I was at Delhi School of Economics, And we met up and I went. Here's the thing. I hated going out to dinner with my parents to their like friends' parties. But on this occasion, mommy was like, you should come and you never listen to us. And wah, wah, wah. So I said, okay, fine. So we went and she was there, this friend. I was like, hey, man, how are you? We've been at the same undergrad college. She's like, I'm great. And she was even more posh and she had a bit of an accent. And I was like, whoa, and where have you been? And she's like, you know, I went to England to study and I'm at Oxford. And I, next sentence, and she has never let me forget this, was, is that in Cambridge? And I'd heard them together, Oxford, Cambridge, yeah, yeah, Oxford,
yeah, yeah,
Cambridge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that in Cambridge? And she was like, she was almost like, ugh. She thought, yeah, I was, yeah, so uncouth. She said, no. And I said, oh, how did you go? And she said, oh, I gave an interview. And I said, you didn't write an exam? She was like, oh, there's no exam. You have to have a first, and then you apply to the Rhodes Scholarship or the Radhakrishnan, and that you have an interview, and they select you, and you go. And I was like, there's no exam? And she's like, no. And then she said, and I said, have you had sex? She was like, that's very personal. I was like, no. But I thought, no exam, boys.
And sex.
And smoking on the street where your parents don't see you. I went to her house the next day. I'm like, tell me what you did. And she was like, what? I'm like, tell me what you did. Because there's no exam. She was like, what? So she explained to me, you have Oxford and these other fellowships and you have Cambridge and they don't really have it. They don't have the same number of scholarships. And she talked me through the whole process and I applied and I came to the UK. I came to Oxford and that changed my fucking life, man.
Wow. That is such a great sliding doors moment. That's, if you hadn't been to that night with your parents.
Yeah.
That would never have happened.
Yes, and so that's a sliding door, right?
100%. Yeah. Multiple, sliding. Because it's also like, what if you just like done the exam?
Gone to America.
Oh, I would never. Ugh, those exams are awful. But I mean, but I think the thing to me, I look back, my life, one of the turning points of my life was coming to the UK to study on that scholarship to a university like Oxford, because it ticked all the boxes for my parents. But also being at Oxford really made me feel invincible because it was such a big deal.
Mm. Yeah.
To get, there was 9 scholarships out of India.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't have great self-confidence.
Yeah.
So getting something, and then when I got here, every English person I met who was at Oxford was like, we are going to rule the world. I was like, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah.
Amazing. And so there was like this huge thing, and I started rowing. I used to always play basketball, but suddenly I was just, it was one of the first times I felt like just Sindhu.
Yeah.
Wow. Not like so-and-so's daughter or the person who has to do this or, you know, and
so
all that
like
stuff.
It was
like freedom. I think freedom is a very, is the correct word, but it's blunt to explain what I experienced. I experienced it was a great, like a door opened in which I could befriend myself.
Mm.
That doorway opened.
That's
and
nice.
I think the friendship I would have had with myself had I not done that would have been a good friendship. But that person that I would have made friends with would have still been very much a creation of all the different roles I was playing.
Mm.
And I would have been perfectly happy because happiness is an inside job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always my instinct. So I would have been happy. I'd have had the same parents. But this was like a doorway to befriending a version of myself that was most authentic. By the way, very hard friendship. Oh my God, what an insecure bitch. Fucking what an insecure bitch. But... Mm. It was, yeah. So that, I think, is a sliding door.
That's amazing. 100%. We've often been very down on university in this podcast because I think you and I didn't enjoy our university experiences.
Yeah.
But that is the best kind of telling of a story of, like, somebody actually going to university and discovering
changing
a version
life,
of themselves that they didn't know was there. Or,
that's what
or,
it's supposed to be. That's like, the thing that people tell you and you're like, wow, can't wait to experience that. And then when you don't experience it, you're like... Where was my big
but
brother?
I had only, but, you know, I had 18 months. I had to do it and go back home.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so I was on a limit.
Yeah.
Like, I would meet people and be like, do you have a boyfriend? Have you had sex? They'd be like, what? So I was like, I need to do that because I have to go back.
So did you have sex?
Want to hear a joke about frog?
Yeah, exactly. No, but everyone on the basketball team and my friend Micah, who's German and is godmother to one of my kids, she was like, I'd never met someone. She said, you came to tryout, sat next to me and said, hi, I'm Sindhu. Have you had sex? And she was like, what? And I was like, because I need to get it done.
Yeah.
I need to sort
you need
it
to
out.
Get it
I need to get it done.
I need to figure out what those. I have to go back and get married. And I'm sure I'll have sex then. But like now it would be like lots and different.
Yeah.
Did not have lots at the time. But then,
did you have different?
well, yeah. I think the thing is I started my raging slut phase there and then just went from there, massive North European tour.
But the moral, the ending of this story is... the ending of this story is you didn't have an arranged marriage.
I didn't, know.
No.
And because that was my authentic self, I think that was the sindhu that everyone was like, why? And it wasn't because arranged marriages are terrible. It's because I just didn't know who I was, and I really couldn't marry someone and be like, I don't know who I am. Good luck. And then some guys you met and you're like, I know, I don't know myself, but I know it's not with you. But whatever is coming is not with you.
Oh, you had some setups for...
Oh, many.
Oh, okay.
Seven.
Okay. Seven. Wow.
Seven very serious ones. Yeah.
Wow. Really? And then you met Jakob during your work.
In my PhD.
Yeah.
Much later, yeah.
Wow.
And I didn't think I would marry him. I actually thought I wouldn't get married because I was going to have IVF to have my kids and my mother. And is this being videoed? Oh, it is. I remember saying to my mother
it's
when I was 27.
So
it's okay. When I was 27, I said, Mommy, I have to tell you something. I don't think I'm going to have an arranged marriage. She kept picking boys near where I was studying or in academia.
Right.
Just to kind of... And she said...
Hot boys in your area.
Yeah, exactly. That ad. My mom was like the version of that.
Hot academics in your area.
Exactly. And so I said, I don't think I'm going to have an arranged marriage. And she said, oh, beta, lesbian ho. Are you lesbian? Because that for her was great. Then we'd know why.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't mind if it's wedding card will say Mrs. and Mrs. But you please get married.
That's not
how it works. We're not both called Mrs. And also, no. I said, I think I just don't want to. She said, bachcho ka kya hoga? What about... kids. I said, I think I'll have IVF. And she did this. IVF? You will have children with IVF? And I was like, what are you doing? Where do you think they're putting these kids?
Pointing at a vein in her arm.
Yeah, like I'm taking a heroin shot.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? And she said, are they IVF? IVF. And I said, first of all, they're not inserting babies into my blood.
Do you think it stood for like intravenous?
Yeah.
Intravenous fertilization.
Isn't it like in vitro? Yeah,
and then
I said to her, I said it's in vitro and like it's in a
petri dish.
Yeah, and she said, I said, ghol ke banate hain? Like, do they just stir? I'm like, okay, we're not talking about the science. Just stop it.
But
she was so, and anyway, but I said no, and then she was like, okay, because I'll have to take care of them, and I don't mind, and I was like, oh my god, that's not, you know. So
yeah.
But then I did get married.
That's great.
It's great.
Really good story.
I love it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
It was great fun.
It's lovely to have you. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Are you doing your Kegels?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yes,
yeah, I'm back on it.
Yeah. I'm Kegeling away.
Yeah.
I've been Kegeling this whole time.
What do you want to plug?
I want to plug Good Vibes.
Good Vibes. Yeah, I want to
plug Good Vibes. Just want to say to everyone who's listening, you know, you have to wake up every morning and you have to mainly plug. This is going to sound gross, so I'm going to... You got to big up not your next gig necessarily. You can big that up. You got to big up yourself.
Yeah. And do your pelvic floor.
Do your Kegels.
Big up pelvic floor exercise.
Yeah. Plug yourself. Ha, 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 ha. That's unnecessary.
No, that's great. Let's end it there. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you, Cindy.
Cindy.
That was Cindy V.
That was Cindy V.
A lovely episode. Really thoroughly enjoyed that.
I said to you before that I was like, I am going to really enjoy Cindy because she'll just tell a really good story.
Yeah.
And then she did.
Mm-hmm.
That was excellent.
And you just told a really bad story.
And so try and compare.
Just for contrast, here's what you could have won.
I like to give people the option. I know she's just like such a good storyteller. She's so engaging. I was like, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this.
Yeah, you took a little nap, didn't you?
Yeah, that's me enjoying it.
You heard a little bit of snoring.
It's not the soul.
That's just Mickey.
It's me snoring.
Yeah, very captivating.
Yeah.
Really good guest.
Lovely.
Well, what's left to say other than thank you for listening?
Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming out to our shows.
Thank you for coming out and seeing us. Thank you for getting in touch on the Patreon.
I had a lovely girl on my show the other day.
Really?
She said she listens to it with her parent.
With her parent? That's real nice.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
It was really nice.
Hello to you and your parent.
No, parrot. The bird.
Oh. That's why we're not making any fucking money on this podcast.
No, come on.
Because all the fucking parents are listening. We're the fucking number one parent podcast in the UK.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, we've set Sarah off.
Oh, God, we're the parrot guys. Well, hello to the parrot.
Yeah. Well, she said that the parrot doesn't like every podcast voice. So some podcasts the parrot doesn't like.
It's because we sound like parrots. Because we go, hello. Oh, for God's sake.
All right, let's
It's because we go, hello, and the parrot goes, bah! Yeah, those are my guys.
Anyway, thank you for coming out to our shows. Please come to Edinburgh. Come and see us.
Come to Edinburgh. See my show. See Mickey's show.
Yeah.
Do the double.
Do the double.
Pit us against each other. tell everyone who you thought was best, and then we'll fight in the street. How about that?
How about that?
How about that?
How about a little fight in the street?
How about we have a little roll around the cobbles?
Okay. Got a lot more sexual
for your love.
You want us to mud wrestle?
Yes,
for our patrons.
Yes, you bring the jelly. We'll bring the pain.
Well, look out for that on Patreon. And yeah, please sign up to Patreon, and I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you for listening, guys.
Other than to compliment your beautiful eyes.
Thank you for listening, guys. And you'll hear us next time. You'll hear us next time. Say goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth, and produced by Lucas Jeffco, with music from Ben Kavanagh.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.